I was just talking about love. This word love we hear from everybody. But what is love? God is love. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. We are also love personified. Love is innate in our soul. It radiates. It should have come in contact with the Overself. It is called God, Paramatma. This has overflowed further, boost it would have got, and overflowed with love. Instead of contacting our soul with God, you see, we are contacting our soul with soul and soul bodies. When you attach to the body, that is called as attachment. Love is one which just overflows within you and you forget yourself. This is a criterion to differentiate love from attachment. This love is spoken of in scripture. So as a rule, our soul should love God. God resides in every heart. That's the controlling power. If it is liberated from mind, matter and outgoing faculties, this will go up to the very source from which it has emanated. Light a candle, the flame will go up. Even if you upturn it, even then the flame will go up. Soul, love of the soul will go up to the Overself. If it remains attached, you see, with the body in outgoing faculties, that is no love, that is attachment. That's the difference between the two. To love God whom we have not seen is not possible. Unless you go up to that level. So while remaining in the body, you would like to love God, then what you have to do? You must rise above body consciousness. Or come in contact with where? To somebody in whom that God power is manifest, whose soul overflows with love and intoxication. So, that would never always look into the eyes of the Master. Eyes are the windows of the soul. In whatever color it is imbued, our soul is imbued, that very radiation will affect us. If the soul is imbued with love and intoxication of God, it will just become receptive to His soul through His eyes. Then you will have boost. You will forget your body. If the love keeps you in the body and tied to the body, that is no love, that is called attachment. That is a very fine difference, you see, between the two. We speak of love everywhere. To love God, well, soul is of the same essence, the drop of the ocean of all consciousness that resides in every heart. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And that very controlling power resides in every heart. If you look from that level, then there is no attachment. You are just hearing about one instance. Well, Moses, God met Moses and told him, look here, I was very bent down with fever and I was very sick, lying in bed, and you did not care for me. He said, God, how can you be sick? Yes, I was sick. You see, where can that man, my, who loved me, you never went to just serve him and ask his wife, wherefore? So had you loved him, you would have done service, loved no service and sacrifice, then I would have been served, really. So I resided in every heart, you see. Now you find we have love, what we call love, but it is no love, it is attachment. For one reason or the other, maybe the outer, some purposes, selfish motives in view. or for the outer outgoing faculty will drag you, others drag you to yourself and keep you in the body. That is very fine difference I'm speaking about attachment and love. When you love God can be can have a boost, you see, overflows by coming in contact with the soul of somebody who is imbued with the love of God. That love will drag you up. You forget your body, you see, and the environment. The master saying, that when I see the master, you see, I become, what you say, no intellect, I forget all intellect, all I could, cognition, all body and environment, when I look at him, you see, that is love. Any love which you call love and keeps you in the body, that is no love, that is attachment. The love which, when you look into the eyes of somebody, that drag you up into the soul, and you forget your body, that is criterion of what love is, you see. So that is why I always advise, don't look into the eyes of others. That's the way on which this lust attacks us, you see. We are tied by lust through eyes. If you look in the eyes of others who are just imbued with lust or other lower things, you will have the same effect regularly. Always look to the feet of everybody. Only manifest your God in many ways you look into it. You will get better. I mean, just lift. Otherwise you will go down. I remember an instance in the life of Ramayana, you see, Lord Rama. Sita was abducted by Ramana. So on the way, her armament fell down on the ground. So Rama went in search of his bride. On the way he found some ornaments. And his younger brother was there, Lakshman, called Lakshman. He told him, would you recognize these are the ornaments of yours? Sister-in-law, you see, elder brother's wife. No, that I don't know, I only can recognize the ornaments which are worn on the feet of my wife, not on the head. Just see the highest criterion of morality. He could recognize only the ornaments which the wife of Rama, Sita, wore on the feet, not on the head. From these we can just draw some lesson, you see. Always look to the feet of the others. You will never be attacked by lower impulses. If at all you have to look, look to the interior eyes of the Master who is imbued with the love of God. You stop. Otherwise, you will go down. And the only criterion is there, as I told you. If you look into the eyes, forget your body and everything, that is love. If you are attached to the body, maybe as the Master or anybody, you will go down. There's danger of going down. If the other body is strong, then you can be saved. Otherwise, he will ask you to do. I'm giving you a very fine difference, which is not given in books. And most of us, what you say, we separate from the right goal. So love is within you. When it is concentrated, then love overflows. When it comes in contact with the old self, God, it still further overflows. Just like it is a pipe. In which there are so many holes, and the water is flowing through the pipe. Drop by drop it falls out through those holes. If you close all the holes and let remain one open, then the water will shoot forth from that hole. See? So our soul is now, you see, under the control of mind, it is our soul, our love is distributed in so many ways. In our body, to our children, to our money, your name is faith. So you withdraw your attention from all outside things and direct only one way out. The door lying at the back of the eyes, which is called the tenth door. Or come in contact by concentration with the soul of somebody which is imbued with the love of God, you will have a boost. So, this is what is love. You can always use this criterion, how you find yourself. Love of God resides in every heart, in a sense. If they are already the controlling power, then love for all humanity. For the sake of that love is no attachment, you see. You are always free. By looking at the faces of others, you will go up, forget the world. Now when you look to others, you are attached there. That is no love. So this love is not, comes up as a result of your eat and drink, you see. It is already in your soul, innate in your soul. If you concentrate yourself, that love will rise, overflow. These are very delicate points which are not touched in detail in the books. So always avoid looking into the eyes of others. If at all you have to look into the eyes of the Master only. That will save you from many hazards. You come to the satsang for the sake of the Master, not for others. To have a little development. This is a practical school, I tell you. To have these things. These you can have only when you come in contact direct with the soul which is emanate to, which is imbued with the love of God. That will give you the same effect. If he is imbued, that way you will get color of that, you see, that intoxication you will have. So love is love, which when you have that, you forget your body and how to take environment. And you have natural, just like the candle goes up to the source of the all like sun, up, even you put it overturned. The same way you are all the way by looking to the men of the earth, to the eyes. Those people, from the level of the soul, if you see, then you'll have a boost. Otherwise, you'll go down. Such a man, you see, Emerson says, when he looked to the people, all others, I see the love of the God shining through their eyes. You see, from that level, not from the level of the outgoing faculty of the body. So, this love, you see, through love only we can know God. Those who do not know love cannot know God. This is what is meant by love. We take love for attachment, and that is no love. Attachment is no love. That is misfit love. The love of conscious entity should come in contact with all conscious God. Such a love, even if you are doing outward penance or any, you see, methods of your worship, if you always think of that, then you are saved. Otherwise, you are stuck on. So, love God. God resides in every heart. Love all those bodies in which that, for the sake of the soul and the whole and the controlling power that keeps that soul in those bodies, not the body itself, then you are saved. If you serve others from the same level, then that is service of God. So all masters say, ten guru says, understand ye all, whether you are belong to one religion or the other. Those who have true love, their body is used the true love. Love and true love. That means love which is misfit, that is called attachment, and true love means real love. God is love, and through love alone you can know God. This is a very delicate point, you see. They touch in books, not given in detail like that. Now you can judge daily from your own whether you are really having love. Such love will give you love for all, but not attachment. So really, the love overflows when you come in contact with some soul which is already and abbreviated, I would say, with the love of God. that won't leave you in the body, attached to the body, but forget your body. Once Christ was sitting in a multitude, somebody told him, "Here, your mother coming at the back. Oh, all these are my mothers and brothers." You find, you know the level from which he was talking? Mothers, sisters and brothers come from the level of the body. He said, "All these are my brothers and sisters." Tenth Guru, when his four sons were just martyred, mother, his wife came up, "Where are my children?" "So, four have been sacrificed for the sake of the thousands of living body." This is love, you see it? Ye prema. Try to understand something. When you understand, right understanding will give you right thoughts. And right thoughts will give you right speech. And right speech will give you right action. This is what is called love. Daily examine yourself where you stand. This self-introspection diary is meant for that purpose, you see, for various ways. To enable you to withdraw from outside, come within your own self and see the world over from that level, not from the level of the body. Let me be more clear now. Sometimes you see somebody loves Master. Others begin to love him, you see, for the sake of the Master, but that very man stands in the way of the Master. You see, instead of turning your love for the Master, your love is turned to that man. From the level of his soul, if you love, that's all right. You won't be attached. Otherwise, that stands in the way of the man concerned who loves, and that love should have gone to Master. That stands in the way. Both fall into the ditch. That who loves and those who stand in the way. This is the general, I think, failure. Most of the people get. They think you only to love somebody who loves Master, that is love of Master. Well, if you do it from the level of the soul, that's all right. But you are tied to the body, you know. These are very delicate points, you see. Not given in books, I tell you. But these little things we are led away from the walls. They try to understand and live up to it. Very few days, your practice will give you more result, better result than others. So yesterday I was talking about how love deteriorates into attachment. Yesterday, you see. So love is an essence of the soul. It has to be contacted with the over-self. To have profuse love, you see, overflowing love. When it is attached to bodies, outer attachments, environments, then that is deteriorated. And is called attachment. Yesterday it was explained how we, on the way to God, we are stopped on the way and we, instead of going to the right direction, we have our way to the downward position. Today is not what is love and how it is deteriorated, but how the love should be exercised. It is already in us. We are also love personified, being a drop of the ocean of all love. So this love should go, as I told you yesterday, with God. And if you have not seen God, the human soul which is overflowing with the love of God. Now, for example, if you see some advocate, naturally you remember courts and cases going on in the courts, is it not? When you see the form of air, then advocate, you naturally remember courts and cases going on in the courts. When you see a doctor, then naturally your attention is diverted to medicines and sick people or hospitals. So similarly, when you see some man who is on the way, when you see him, naturally your attention is just directed to the field of work he is doing. So master is one, and the saint is one who is laborer, you see, in the harvest of God, you see. Harvest is merit, laborers are wanted. But think of you, always think of God, nothing that comes of itself. So when you think of a master as a prototype of God on earth, a manifested God in him, only then the God, true remembrance will be overflowed within you. This is what is meant by what he was reading. So generally, you see, when you think of animal consciousness, you forget your own self. So I spoke of one event of Guru Nanak. He was weighing out some free wheat in a shop where he was inside. So he began 1, 2, 3, 4 times. He had to give 13 shears, 13 pounds of something, which he was weighing out. When they reached the 12, and he came to the word 13, 13 word in Hindi means dime. I am dime. He was intoxicated. He went on repeating, I am dying, I am dying, I am dying, weighing out all the graves out there. You see? So this is, you see, those who got love for God. Naturally, you see anything, that love is overflowed. So in that case, such a disciple becomes what you have loved in the Master. As St. Paul said, it is I live not now, I Christ lives in me. Even all of the saints in other countries also had the same thing. He says, my inner self is so much overflowing with my Master that I have forgotten myself, who is he? He is or I am. The same expression given by almost everybody, of course, in their own language. Their mode of expression may be little different, but they say the same thing. So such like love, when you see a master, don't see his form, God in him. That's the true love of the master. True love of God too. Just as I gave you an example just now, when you see an advocate, naturally, remembrance of the course comes in, you see. When you see a doctor, naturally, remembrance of hospitals and sick people and nations arises. Similar when you see a saint, then you naturally remember God. Because he's a prototype of remembrance of God. He's overflowing with the love of God. So when you, Maulana Rumi says, when you accept a master, well, you accept God and the prophet in him both. If you read a book, if you read the preface, please give it in digest form what is in the book, in few pages. Whole book after reading what you follow, you understand that you can follow from the preface before it. That gives a very digest of the whole thing, what is done in the book. Similarly, when you see a master, you just read the preface of the whole God, you see. This is an example to show when you meet a master, you meet a God in him. So, such like God in man is meant only with the grace of God. Who you want to contact, you see. You are just finding, after finding him, you see. So such like remembrance gives you true love of God. As you think, so you become. The very appearance of him reminds you. As a compass, you see, when you even shake it, even it need to go to the north, always. So in worldly affairs, in everything, you always have the sweet memories of God. To look at the Son of Man overflowing with the love of God is to meet the God. Like Christ, as I told you, say, who has seen me has seen my Father. So this is the true state of affairs. Of course, there are all graduates are not graduates. You see, all the so-called masters are not masters. Then how to recognize? The only criterion with us is who can give you some experience to raise you above the body level for a while, give you something to talk. outer propaganda, for or against, outer anything. Beginnings and propaganda and this and that, that you can do by very easy methods, by paying also and other things too. You may find some 5, 6, 10 people, or they go around and have your salary and go proclaim, our master is God and this and that, and not that, you see. So such a master is met with the grace of God, who is finding after God within himself. So the God is within you. He makes all such arrangements to bring you in contact with God. Which God? Which he manifests at some human form, because the teacher of a man is a man. You see? So such life now, you see, when you see a master, you remember God, not his face, not his coat, not anything, not the least. He says, where is that Almarina, in which room, and where is that room? Just think how much, how absorbed he was in the master, that while living in there, he did not know Almarina lies in which room. These are some examples to show. Such life now is the paramount love, I would say. And such life just transfuses you into him. You say, I live, no, not I. So such life now we should have. The love of Master is love of God. If you worship God, when you worship Master, now the question arises, true Master and another Master. There are so many Masters. But the only quality in life is the fact that he is able to give you substance to stop. Not mere repetition of certain things or performing certain outward methods of worship, not in me. Just give him boost, a little above rising, for a while, some capital to start with, maybe little or more. That depends on the background of each one. But everybody must get. Even the blind men should get. They do get. When they go for anything, even now, in this, at Amritsar, Jalandhar, there was a man who was blind. One man came from Amritsar. He was initiated half and then he stood up and said, I would like to be clear of many doubts from all of you. Take time and clear out. So he left after half. Then he met me in the evening. Then I told him, well, you forget all your learning for a while. I told him, come to Jalandhar, sit for a while. As a child, did you know nothing? He got the best experience. Then he put a question, well, it is daytime, like maybe due to the light outside. Why has a blind man with you? He sees the light. So it is inner light, you see. And the light of the world, whosoever shall come to me, shall never walk in darkness. This is all Master says. When you meet a Sadguru, you see light inner and out. When that is dwelled, you also see outside that very light. So, you know today's subject, how to love God, Master, or the God. Love of God is manifested in Master. All qualities in God are in a miniature scale in the Master, because he is a reflection of that. He is a prototype of God on earth. I am speaking about the true Master. The word true comes in now. You see, beware of the false masters. That's what Christ said. They come as what lambs like, and they are what you say, wolves in that form. So all of them, there have been two masters. There have been many such like people also come who pose as masters. But they cannot give any experience. Where is it? Where is it? Sometimes some reaction in the past do come up. But they do know where to go further. I've seen such like people who had a reaction in the past. They used to begin to see light. And they were just teaching them for eyes or brain. Because they didn't know what is what. So Christ is love of God, you see, what you say, can be overflowed within you when you love the Master, the God in him. That's all. That's by radiation too. That further, as I told you, by direct coming in of the soul with the soul in him, imbued with the love of God. How that is deteriorated, that was the subject yesterday. We have to be on the guard, you see. See how you put it. Just see this company, somebody in whose company remembers God is most wicked. Somebody wrote to me in one letter, "Are you a god?" I told him, "No, the god is me, not I." You see? You take me as a brother, as a friend, as your elder, and say to see, you get something, see me inside too, then you may say anything you like, but what I think, I'm a son of man. That's all I can say. True state of the is like that. And no master had ever said so. So, let the love of God be not deteriorated into attachment. Be under God, you see.
Good evening. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was a combination of two morning talks titled Love versus Attachment and How to Love God. They were given by Master on 4th and 5th January 1968 at Savan Ashram, Delhi. And our reader this evening is Rick Casey. Go ahead, Rick.
Good evening. I'll be reading tonight from chapter 25 of the book God-Man, which is titled The Nature of Oneness. Verily, a Satguru, master of truth, is one with Sat, or truth, as he is embedded in and revels in truth. Truth is infinite and all-pervasive, while it manifests itself and works among people from a human pole, call it what you will, master, Satguru, etc. He is a beacon light that sheds the light of truth on the tumultuous sea of life to guide yearning humanity. He may be likened to a live switch that has behind it the entire energy of the powerhouse, but doles it out in such measure as may be needed by each individual according to his or her requirements. Like a magnetized pole or a live switch, he possesses a raiment, but in fact is not the raiment, but the power inside the raiment. Exactly so is the case of jivas, or embodied spirits. We too are in fact not what we possess and apparently seem to be, physical entities, but spirits or souls that enliven the physical bodies. The spirit or soul is purely of the same essence and power that works in the master, but clothed in countless raiments or sheaths and hedged in by numberless limitations. But when it is able to transcend the various bodies and become a spirit untrammeled and free, it can then witness the glory and greatness of the Master, for he is the horizon where the earth and heaven meet, and the sun of God's light rises and illumines all space. A veritable sun lies hid in him. We cannot have any adequate idea of God's beauty, grandeur, and greatness by looking at the physical form of the Master. For an actual experience of him, we have to rise to his level. Unless we rise to the level of God, we cannot know of God. As God is spirit, we too, by self-analysis, must be able to separate the spirit in us from the material sheaths or raiments enshrouding it. For spirit alone can see and experience spirit, not the physical senses, not even the intellect or mind. The eyes of a master are charmed casements that open within on infinity and without on the finite. In them, one can get glimpses of divine light unparalleled in this world. a shadowless light that never is found on sea or land. Lonnie Rooney tells us about him. A Godman is ever in a state of intoxication without a drop of wine. He is ever satiated without a morsel of food. His eyes are the eyes of God. His hands are the hands of God. While living in the world, he is not of the world, nor he a prisoner in the prison of the body as we are. He a free entity, and at will crosses over into spiritual realms and is competent to grant this power and capacity to thousands of jivas if he so wishes. A living master of truth is one with truth and has in him in fullness whereby he carries on the work of salvation entrusted to him. In spite of his form, he is formless. He is word personified, a great fountainhead of love, bliss, and peace. Man has to learn from man, and in accordance with this natural law, word becomes flesh and dwells among us to impart spiritual instruction and guidance. Again, by transmitting his own life impulse, he enables us to go homeward. While doing this work among us, he every day, at his sweet will, escapes to his heavenly abode of truth, so as to take rest in Nij Anand, or imperishable bliss. Master of truth and truth are one, for he is polarized truth. He is beyond everything, beyond Brahma, the primal principle. Nanak has met with such a guru. The master of truth is eternally the same. He neither comes nor goes. He is the imperishable life principle that pervades everywhere. With all our paeans in praise of the master, we can never do justice to him. For he existed when nothing was, and from him everything came into being at each cycle of creation. Who can sing the praises of the master? He is the source of truth. He is eternally unchangeable, the source of all life, from age to age. In Gurbani, it is mentioned that after careful scrutiny within, one comes to an irresistible conclusion that master is truth and truth is master, with no distinction whatever between the two. When churning the great sea within, one thing has come to the surface. Guru is Gobind, and Gobind is Guru. O Nanak, there is no difference between the two. The Almighty, in fact, resides in the garb of a saint and works his plan through him. The Kartar, primal principle, resides in the Master, and he becomes the means of salvation for many a soul. One knows nothing of love without a master, for everyone is devoid of love. Hari resides in the master, and blessed master becomes the connecting link between a jiva and Hari. Kabir Sahib tells us that he is one with God. Now, I am one with thee, and feel satiated and blessed. Having reached the highest abode, I am one with him, so much so that I cannot distinguish Kabir from Ram. Similarly, Shamazi Tabriz speaks in the same strain. We have become so united, like body and soul, that hereafter no one can say, I am different from thee. Christ too says, I and my Father are one, John 10:30. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, John 14:9. God and God-man are indeed just like the sea and its tides. Momentarily, as the tides rise and fall, they appear as something different, but they are of the same essence as the water of the parent sea. Exactly the same is a drop of water. When separated from the sea, it is a drop, but the moment it goes into the sea, it loses its apparent individuality and becomes part and parcel of the sea. God is formless, while in God-man, he assumes form for instruction and guidance of the people. Nanak has, after careful study of the Vedas and scriptures, come to the conclusion that there is no difference between Parbrahm and Guru. God is the primal sound principle, which he gives to the thirsty through a God-man. God resides in a Guru and releases the sound current among the aspirants. Established in truth, Master revels in truth. He is at once the master of truth and truth itself. In every age, he comes down for the benefit of the devotees. In the Holy Bible, we read, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. In Gurbani, we have, there is not the least distinction between Satguru and Swami, God in action and God. A contact with the former leads to devotion for the latter. A man of God is called a Satguru or Satpurush, and he speaks of Hari alone. Whoever listens to him attains salvation. Guru, being one with the Almighty, is the doer of everything and sustains the entire creation, including the jivas. Guru is the doer and does everything. He is the true Guru Mukh. Guru is a conscious co-worker with God and is the sustainer of the entire creation. Guru is the bestower of peace and comfort, and he is the Qatar, great motor power. O Nanak, we live and have our being in him alone. Gosain Tulsi Das, the celebrated author of the Hindi Ramayana, speaks of the Guru. Salutation to the lotus of the Guru, who is the ocean of mercy, and God himself in human form. His kindly words dispel in us the darkness born of blind attachments. In the Holy Bible, we read that Jesus once asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:13 and 16-18. On another occasion, he spoke more clearly to them. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? John 14:8-10. Guru Arjan has, in very explicit terms, told us of his oneness with God. My temples are in the highest heaven, and my kingdom is limitless. My sway is eternal, and countless is my wealth. My glory is known through the ages, and my people live everywhere. I am worshipped by all and sundry, and everyone is devoted to me. My Father is manifest within me, and now the Father and the Son work together. O Nanak, the Son has become a conscious co-worker with the Father, and there is now no difference between the two. In the Hindu scriptures we have, Guru is Brahma, Guru is Vishnu, Guru is Shiva, and Guru is the veritable Parabrahm, and we offer our salutations to the Guru. In Mandukya Upanishad, it is stated, as the various mountain streams, after passing through different planes, fall into an ocean and lose their names and separate existence, so do the knowers of Brahma merge in the illustrious, self-lustrous being, losing their names and forms. Here a question arises as to how an all-pervading spirit can come to occupy a limited space in a human body. In Discourse 7 of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna thus sets at rest this question. Not knowing my transcendent, imperishable, supreme character, the undiscerning think me who am unmanifest to have become manifest, veiled by the delusive mystery created by my unique power. I am not manifest to all. This bewildered world does not recognize me, birthless and changeless. Shalaks 24-25. Again, in Discourse 9, Shalak 11, the Blessed Lord says, Not knowing my transcendent nature as the sovereign Lord of all beings, fools condemned me incarnated as man. Muslim divines also seem to corroborate this, according to Maulani Rumi. The arm of a peer, master, is in no way shorter than that of God, and the veritable power of God works through the former. His long arm stretches as far as the seventh heaven. His hand is in fact the hand of God, and no one besides him shows his greatness. In fact, an effulgent sun lies hid in him, and the greatest good lies in knowing him as he is. Again, the Maulana says, The light of truth shines in the heart of a wali, God-man. If you are a Momin, Guru-man, you may see this as it is. The prophet once declared that God himself told him that he far transcended the highest heights, the lowest depths, the earth, the sky, and all the heavens. But, strange as it may seem, he could comfortably rest in the heart of his devotees, and he who wished to meet him could find him there. So he, the Murshid, lives on the earth, yet his soul spreads out in the limitless beyond, which all reasoning and philosophy of the religious cannot reach. Shamsi Tabriz tells us in this wise, the King of Kings is enthroned in us behind a dense curtain. In the vile garb of flesh, he comes to grant us access to himself. Bulla Shah says, Mola, God, becomes man so as to pull men up from their deep slumber. We have in Gurbani many references to this effect. God himself assumed the name of Ram Dass, fourth guru of the Sikhs. Greatly intelligent is our God. He himself assumes and takes for himself the title of a saint. O Pipa, Prava, the sound current, is the only reality. It becomes embodied as a Sadguru for our instruction and guidance. Sadguru is Niranjan, pure, immaculate. Do not consider him as a human being. A devotee of the Lord himself becomes the Lord, but man knows not this mystery. Bhai Gurdas likewise says, Ek Ankar, the one God unmanifest, becomes Akar, the manifest, and assumes the appellation of a guru. He who can tell you of the reality, impersonal, put you in contact with reality, truth, eternal, and unchangeable permanence, is no other than personal reality, truth personified. He truly is the primal sound current emanating from the Most High. In order to teach mankind, the sound current becomes materialized in the form of saints. How else can men have spiritual instruction unless the Spirit of God, which the sound current is, takes a human form and lives among them, talks to them face to face of mysteries both human and divine? This is why Kabir says, Brahma cannot speak as Brahma alone. He too needs a human agency, his self-expression among human beings. We, as human entities, encased in flesh and bones, cannot have an idea of that attribute-less, formless one, unless he assumes a likeness to our own on this material plane and becomes for us a living God capable of being seen, heard, and understood. He is at once both God and man, and may be called God-man. He works as a means to an end, a link between man and God. He is word personified so that he may impart instructions about God and guidance towards God. Peter the Great, Tsar of Russia, was anxious to learn shipbuilding and the art of navigation, so he went to Holland, disguised in the garb of an ordinary laborer. In the Dutch dockyards, there were many other Russian laborers working for their living, and Peter worked with them, talked to them of Russia, their native land, and often asked them to return with him. These poor people were exiles from their country, and when he sighs because they could not go back however much they wished, Peter told him that the mighty Tsar himself was known to him, and he might be able to secure them a pardon. but very few could imagine that a person in tattered clothes like their own could have anything to do with the Tsar. When Peter started on the journey homeward, after completing his training, just a few who believed his words accompanied him. When he entered Russia, he was received royally from place to place. When the outlawed laborers saw the honor given Peter, they felt encouraged and confident that he would be able to have the Tsar reverse the decree of outlawry against them. When, at last, they saw Peter enter his capital and ascend the throne, they were astounded at the change in their co-laborer. The master, like Peter the Tsar, is the King of Kings. He comes into the dockyard or prison house of this world just as an ordinary laborer or prisoner like us. He also earns his living as we do and talks to us of our native land and infuses in us a longing and a desire to return home and offers to be our companion and guide on the way. A few who put faith in his words begin to act on his advice, and they are taken out of this vast prison back to the throne of God, where they find the Master in his radiant form, more lustrous than thousands of suns and moons put together. Guru Arjan tells us that he who sent us into exile is now calling us back to his kingdom as his true inheritors and legatees. Again, when Queen Indra Mati completed her course of spiritual discipline and reached Sach Khand, she found her master, Bir, in the seat of Sat Purush, the true God. Seeing this, she said, "Master, why did you not tell me before that you were Sat Purush yourself? I would have believed you." Kabir, smiling, replied, "I could not have convinced you then." All saints who reach Sat Lok or Anami Desh become one with God, and as such, rank equal to each other. And none can be said to be greater than the other. He who tries to distinguish a saint from a saint starts headlong for hell. Generally, thousands of people congregate around a Satguru and listen to his discourses, but each one sees him according to his own mental and spiritual makeup. Some consider him as a person of piety. Some take him for a philosopher, and some just as a man of learning. Others regard him as an ideally moral man, and so others as a selfless worker. Rare indeed are the jivas who find God in him. Thus each one finds in him a reflection of what he himself actually is or wishes to become, and so gets from him that quality, for he distributes to each what he merits. As a man in physical raiment, his foremost duty, of course, is man-making. And as God personified, it is revealing or manifesting God. So it all depends on one's own preparedness through the ages. Blessed indeed is the man who is ready for immediate transformation into God, for to such an individual, he at once reveals his godhood. As Krishna revealed his oneness with Kaul to Arjuna, when through ignorance he hesitated to perform his duty as a Kshatriya prince. A blind man cannot see one with eyes, nor can he take hold of him. unless the man with sight compassionately takes him by the hand and leads him aright. Similarly, no one can see in a master, the master of truth or truth itself, lodged in him, unless he reveals his real self to him. Even those who live constantly with him, including his close relatives, can seldom recognize in him the hidden Godhead. Without the gift of special merit, one can never know of the really intrinsic nature of a saint, his Godhood. He who can see and recognize God in him has indeed found God, for he not only resides in him, but manifestly works through him. I've come to the end of my time. Now I was reading from chapter 25, God-Man.
Thank you, Rick. There were 51 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for your listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So we have to learn swimming in water or on the dry land. We have to be in the world, yet out of it. And to achieve that success is to be self-centered. You follow my point?